The Lord answers prayers, and a lot of times the things that we ought to be praying for that we're not aware of, that He answers those also, even though they hadn't been asked in particular. Sometimes maybe oftentimes, that we don't know what to ask for, and it's such a unspeakable blessing to know that God knows what we need without us asking. He provided for us when we not only didn't know what we needed, but when we were yet to be. A great provider. The Lord talks in the scriptures, and He uses something that people then were probably more accustomed to than we are today. However, it's not something that we can't understand, but there's a lot of things happening in relation to this particular place that at least in our part of the country we're not too familiar with. In the scripture calls it a vineyard or a vine yard, but it uses the term vineyard a lot, and it was one of the great things in olden times that, like I said, it was something that furnished livelihood. It was just a very special place, and it required a lot of attention. You know, a lot of times people plant a crop and very little has to be taken care of until the crop has provided what it provides. Vineyards seem like, reading the scripture, you get the idea that it was just a special place. It wasn't a place that you could take a tractor or a team of animals. It was just a really personal place. And it furnished, of course, one of the more important products in terms of joy and medicine and just a lot of profits to a vineyard. The Lord, several times in the scripture, would use that term in reference to His house or His church or just a place where His children labor and they receive the fruits of their labor. And it required lots of labor. You know, there wasn't a season so much because it was just a year-round thing to take care of a vineyard. Things had to be kept out of it that didn't belong there. The Bible talks one time about a vineyard that was neglected, and the animals and things came in and just destroyed that vineyard. And He relates that in the scriptures to a sense of representing the kingdom as it was under the law. And he especially in Jeremiah's writings, that Israel is rebuked because you've not taken care of the vineyard. You've left it, it's grown up, the animals have come in and destroyed a great part of it. And of course, that happened in a natural sense. But it being a record of a natural event is not so important. That's just the example that's being used. But the Lord is talking about to them that I gave you a good vineyard and you didn't take care of it, period. And Christ brings that up in his talking to his people while he was here. And the reason he brings it up more than one occasion is that that we don't do like they did. That we don't take something as special as a vineyard and just ignore it. If you neglect it, things came in that were stronger in a worldly sense than the kingdom was, and they destroyed it. And I think maybe one reason that the Lord brought this up more than once was that we don't do like that. You know, he didn't tell them in old times there were animals that would come in and destroy the king their vineyard if it was neglected. He didn't tell them to go kill all animals. But just keep a watch on the king, on the vineyard, take care of it. And the Lord uses that. He likens it to his church. And so it tells us right up front, the fact that should come out plain to us is that it can be neglected and things will come in and destroy. So it requires some. You know, you plant cotton, you lay it by and you kick back and you just wait. And it's a time of rest. There wasn't one in this. If it wasn't a time of gathering the fruit, it was a time of taking care of the vineyard. In Matthew talks about it in several places, but one of the good examples is the 20th chapter of Matthew. He begins this chapter addressing this particular issue. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. And when he agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour, and he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, I'll give it to you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out, and he found others standing idle. And he said unto him, why stand ye here all day idle? And they said unto him, because no man is hired us. And he saith unto them, go ye into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when evening come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his steward, go call the laborers, and he give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when he came, it came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received about every man a penny. And when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. When they had received it, they murmured against the good men of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. You know, there's really some great warning that the Lord has put in here. And we've all, if we've not practiced it, maybe not openly, but in our mind, maybe we have. But we think of people, and sometimes we make this expression, well, they've been in the church such a long time. And maybe an issue comes up, and we think that because they've been in the church a long time, they should know more. Well, maybe they should. I'm proof that that's not always the case. But he's liking this. He's not telling this just to entertain them. But it's teaching about the kingdom of heaven, about the church. And it's such an important thing that sometimes if someone is relatively new coming to the church, well, whenever they come in, that's the point they're in. And that's the point that he's made. Because the Lord knew that the time would come when some of the old Baptists would think that maybe that someone that came in when they were 90 years old or whatever, that they would look at that different. The Lord is saying that is not the issue. He went out and he got some folks. He didn't get all of them. He probably didn't offer all of them the job. But a lot of them obviously didn't come when he bid them come to labor in his vineyard. But some did. And later on, some more did. And later on, some more did. Well, he pointed out, time is not relative to the point he's making. It does not mean that time is not relevant, but to the point he's making. And the point he's making is that his kingdom is put here to be labored in. And some came at the 11th hour. We know it's a wonderful thing when the Lord's people come into his vineyard. That's a wonderful time. It's not a time to analyze age or youth. Because that's really not the issue. Because the one that he tells us here that the ones that came in the 11th hour received accordingly like the ones that came early. Now the point being is the ones that came early, they had a pocket full of money before these ever came. And they had the privilege of laboring in that kingdom. But some of them said, it ain't right. We have labored all of our life. We've labored all this time in the kingdom. And then these that came last at the 11th hour, you give them the same thing you give us. Well, the Lord makes the point. I gave them what I promised. I give you what you promised. So what's the problem here? But he answered them, the third verse. He answered one of them and said, "Friend, I don't do you any wrong. Did not you agree to work for me for one penny? Take that is, and go thy way. And I will give unto the last, even as unto thee." Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I'm good? So the last shall be first, and the first shall be last, for many be called, but few are chosen. You know, to me, the great point that he's making here is, it is not up to you to judge what I do to somebody else. But I have made my promise to you good. So whatever that I'm promised to someone else might be a different promise. But that's between me and them. And I do you no harm if I take the one that has come in at the 11th hour and labored in my kingdom and done what I said. Maybe the Lord didn't call him till the 11th hour. The kingdom of heaven is like a householder. He begins establishing the fact that the head of the house, you know, we have children. We don't always treat them exactly the same, because sometimes their actions require a little different treatment. Or maybe time, maybe circumstances has changed. You know, maybe we come along and we have a family, a young couple. They're struggling to kind of get started with things, and there's a child involved, and maybe they don't have the resources that later on in life, a child that's born later, that they're able to do things for them that they couldn't the beginning. Of course, the Lord is not limited by not being able. But the Lord limits himself by some circumstances. Number one, why did the ones not come on in until the late 11th hour? You know, the Bible don't say that he didn't try to get them to come in or whatever. He just said that's when they came. Sometimes we labor so much trying to figure something out that it's not relative. It's not important. It's not important for me and you to know why that some came in the early and some came later. That's not the point. The point is that the Lord made, we don't have a system of seniority based on age or any other basis. But some were troubled and they thought that the Lord was not treating them right. They ought to have more than the ones that come later. We have, sometime in the churches when you have members that are older, and certainly they have learned some things good, but in terms of making this kind of judgment, my friend, we never stand in that position. The Lord of this this man had the authority to call whomsoever he will. Now he did. He goes on to explain that this is a parable. He's teaching some of the Jewish people in the church that very soon, if not probably even at this time, was the exercise of some of the Gentiles being brought in. So there was a lot going on pertaining to the church right then. And I really, a mixture of great joy at that time, but also a lot of the practices had not yet been kind of established. There was still a lot of uncertainty about these things. And that was obvious when Paul begins to write in the book of Acts, that there were just lots of things that wasn't established yet. Now the Lord is establishing some very particular things according to a doctrine. But at this time, you remember that the Gentiles were not yet brought in. So there were going to be some differences in the church in the way it operated. And the Lord is laying a pattern here, a pattern that these Jews, especially the apostles, could understand, that though you have been here all the time, since my very beginning, you've been here. And they received some things that the folks didn't that came later. One thing that they received was just being with the Lord. I think sometimes how wonderful that must have been. I cannot imagine what it would be when he knelt down and began to pray in their presence. I can't imagine what it would be to have been with him and see him go to the afflicted and make them well. But there were things, a lot of suffering that went along with that you and I don't have to endure. The kingdom of heaven. He said it's like a vineyard. It's like a place where it's pleasant. There's no trees to have to. You don't have to clear any new ground. You do have some weeds that come up in it, but you don't have to cut the timber and pull up roots and that kind of thing. He left it a good kingdom. The things that would have prevented it, he took out. Vineyard. And he commands. He didn't hang a sign out, help wanted. But he commands some of his children to go into that kingdom. But when they go in, they must understand, you and I must understand, that the judgment that God has used in this activity is not to be questioned by us. Because what God promises, whatever it is, whatever he promises, my friend, it's at his discretion what promise he makes. He don't make the same promises to everybody. He don't make the same promises to his children. On this occasion, he didn't call them all. the early part of the day. He went out about the sixth hour. And he went out about the ninth hour. And about the 11th hour, he went out again. And he hired them. They understood what the wages were. He hired them. And yet when it comes to the end of the day and he started to giving them for their labors, give them all the same thing. Whatever we are blessed to be or do in the kingdom of God, my friend, when it's over with, we all get the same. But the good thing about it was the ones that went in early, they got to be with him during all that time. He's not encouraging his people to not labor until the 11th hour. But what he's saying is, there may be occasion he don't call them till the 11th hour. So I guess it just means it's up to him to a great degree. Now I'm sure that's what the parable is pointing out. And there's some things that happen that this parable won't fit with. If it's not talking about that. And that's where the confusion of the scriptures come in, is sometimes we misapply what he's doing and we try to apply it to something else. So the last, and he is rebuking those who question his judgment and activity. And he tells them, your eye is evil. Why? Because they're looking at somebody. They should be looking at him. And whether it's the first hour or the ninth hour or the 11th hour, whatever it is, he's the one, my friend, that their attention should be on. After all, he's the one that hired them. In the 15th verse, is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I'm good? He said, do you think it's evil because I've taken someone in the 11th hour and brought them in and made them part of this great service? But he says, the last is going to be first. You know, sometimes the Lord, he does some things. It's a good thing that he's doing, but he does it in a way as to rebuke us when our mind is not right and our thoughts are not right about something. And he said, is your eye evil because I've given those that I've called in the 11th hour the same thing that I gave you? Is your eye evil? Do you count me as doing something evil when I gave you exactly what I told you I would? Now this is how the kingdom of heaven is. We have some recordings of some good singing. One of them is Brother Ernie Ford, and loved it. And he sang some beautiful song. But he had one on there, I tell you what. it just won't do. Sometimes the people try to do something they're not qualified to do. You know, a songwriter takes upon himself a lot of responsibility. And we have one book in the scripture that's called a song. It's called a multiple song. And it was written by a man that scripture said that he was wise. He was wiser than everybody during those times. But he wrote them, and it's called the Songs of Solomon. And, you know, they had these advantages. They had been taught. Christ, when he is giving this scripture in person, he's talking to some people that understand what he's talking about. The terminology that he uses is something they're familiar with. Sometimes you and I have to remember that some of the terms he used, it's true. It was true then. It's true now. But we have to understand it from that perspective. You know, he talks about a vineyard. I've never seen a vineyard. I've never worked in a vineyard. I don't know how the operation goes. If somebody put me in charge of taking care of a vineyard, it wouldn't be long until they'd have to plow it up and do something different. But there's people that are specialists at that. They know what they're doing. And it is looked on quite differently. Christ continued his lesson in that 12th chapter of Mark. 12th chapter of Mark. And he gives them basically the same lesson here. He adds a little and he leaves some out. But in the 9th verse, he gives them he begins that chapter reminding us of something. And he began to speak unto them by parables. And then he talks about a certain man which planted a vineyard and goes on to details that are not relative to what I'm trying to say this morning. He winds up in view of everything else, that particular lesson, and he talks about sending people into this vineyard and them being not received and handled shamefully, and he says in the 6th verse, this is after the law and the prophets and how that the writers come along and say, which of the prophets didn't your fathers kill? It was a horrible treatment that the prophets received from the people of Israel. And he reminds them that's who he's preaching to right at this point when he puts it down in letters to us. And he talks about how shamefully they were treated. He's talking about himself to them. It hadn't happened yet with him, but he's given this scripture that they can go back and they can look at the scripture and see that it's happened exactly like he said. And the parable he gave them, though they didn't understand it at the time, chiefly, that it was something that they would have later on. How many times do you suppose that some of the Jews took out their Greek Bible of the New Testament and read the, maybe they're doing that today, I don't know. But he gives them the warning in that verse. What shall therefore the Lord of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the husbandmen, not man, men. And he will give the vineyard unto others. You know, the leaders among the Jews that cried out, crucified, that done all these things, because they did not want him over them, period. They had a crop there. They had a vineyard of their own. The great problem with it was it wasn't producing anything except wild grapes. And the vineyard that the Lord established, my friend, provided something much better than that. But he says to those that didn't want this, that didn't want him, remember, he's talking to the Jewish people now. He's there. He's with them. He's been with them a long time at this point. What shall therefore the Lord of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the husbandman, and he will give the vineyard unto others. And he refers them to another parable that they probably have had. He said, have you not read this scripture? The stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. And why would the Lord bring that parable up on this particular time, this occasion? The sentence continues. This was the Lord's doing. Is it not marvelous in our eyes? Twelfth verse. And they sought to lay hold on him, but they feared the people. But he had told them, he would tell them, he demonstrated all through the scriptures to not fear man, but to fear God. Now they're afraid, these leaders among the Jews at that time, they were afraid of him. They were afraid that if they acknowledged him, that they would lose what they had. And they most certainly would have. But they sought hope to lay hold on. Now, isn't it something that this point that they feared the people? But the one that you're talking about doing this to, my friend, is the one that they should have feared. How many times do you and I, do our actions and our feelings are so directed, so misdirected, that we're more concerned about what somebody else is going to say about what we do, when our main concern, my friend, is what's the Lord going to say about it? Because if we do like this group, if we're going to design what we do and say by what other people are going to think about it, then we just one of them little Pharisees or Sadducees, maybe. So many times as it's taught in the Scripture, that the Lord, it's Him, it's about Him, and He plants vineyards here and there. And when He plants them, He turns them over to someone else to a degree. The labor in it, he lets them do the labor, but the husband's going to show up sometime, and he's going to require at the hand of those laborers, what have you produced? You've been in a charge that's laboring in this vineyard now. What has it produced? He came and taught them so many times. You know, people talk about doing this for the Lord and that for the Lord. Kind of depends on what it means, I guess. But I tell you something, friend. The Lord made a vineyard before He ever made a man. And He put it in a place where it produced perfectly without any man's touching it. So He proved right up front that He could get the job done without. All these things that He gives you and I, and He gave those back then to do. He didn't do it because He could not get it done any other way. He proved that. He put a man in a garden, my friend, that was perfect in every way. Trees bore fruit that had never been touched by man. So the Lord, if it was His desire, if it was His will, to take some of these things He's telling them to do, or to do some of the things that they've not done, it's not because He couldn't do it. He planted a vineyard. That's what started it. He planted a vineyard. And then He chose people to take care of it. And some didn't, and some did. The Lord come, and one of the things that He criticized the leaders for, you've not done your job. God, you're in a position to know the very basic things. You're in a position to know that. But He said, you've taken My Father's house. You've taken My vineyard. And you've destroyed the vines in it. You've not taken care of them. They're not producing. The reason they're not producing is you've not taken care of them. But you know the Lord can do what He pleases with things. So He takes that little vine that they had abused. It wasn't producing anything. It just wasn't doing right. And the Lord come and He took that vine. Kind of like He does us individually. He took that vine. And he nursed it. He fed it. And it began to produce. And it makes some wine. New wine. Kind you're not supposed to drink. But I remember they had a feast one time. And they served new wine. And it was so good. Till a fella in charge of that said, you brought us the old wine first. You brought the new wine. You brought the new wine first, the good wine. We don't do it that way. There's a lot of things they didn't do the way Christ done them. But he said, you brought the old wine first. I mean, I'll get it right in a minute. You brought the old wine first. This new wine, it tasted better than the old wine. That was under the law, my friend, it was good. It was good not to start with. But Christ come along and he makes wine. And he tells them, take it to the guests. And they take it and they say, well, this is better than what we've been having. It was better. You know, the Lord could take new wine, my friend, and it would be better than that they'd spent their lifetime curing out and making sure that it was like it was supposed to be. Okay. May the Lord bless you, my friend.